Thank you, Thomas, for this nice introduction, because in fact, before coming here, I had a training with how to present scientific presentation in English. It was done by a half American and half French man, and he told us that us in Europe, we have an awful way of presenting our talks. And so I have to tell you that I will not start my talk with a joke. I will not start it with, I will not present in logical order rather than chronological order. And I will not make it very simple, as you can see from my title. So this is just to say that it's maybe because I come from France, I want to resist to the American influence, so I made something like this. So prolegomena is just a term that says that a preparation to something, or an introduction to something, a prerequisite to something. And there are two famous books, one, for example, from the historicist Ibn Khaldun, who was working on the Arab world, and his main contribution is called Prolegomena. He's considered as a founder of sociology. And there is a famous book from Kant, famous German philosopher, which is called Prolegomena to any future metaphysics that will be able to come forward as a science. So, to come to more similar automata issues, what I want to say is that here we have to think about the preparation of new ways of looking at cellular automata, just like the talk before was looking at deviation of the classical model with memory. So here I will be looking at other deviation of the classical model, meaning what happens if the update is not certain, the update of the state is not certain, if it is probabilistic, and then I will call it asynchronous. And what happens if the result of an update is not certain, and that will be a probabilistic cellular automata. And in fact, it is interesting to look at this, the motivation of this work is to look at what happens in living organisms. Biological organisms, you don't have a clock that synchronizes all transitions, okay? So we want to go back, just like from the man William and Turing did at the early ages of computer science, to think about what can happen if we look at parallel updating and non-deterministic updating. So the outline of my talk is very simple. I will first talk about asynchronous cellular automata, and then a probabilistic one. So I will not be asking about if natural models have a clock or not, because we don't know, but do the models that mimic nature need a clock? So let's have a demonstration on the game of life. So I need to run my program, and how can I do this? Control L. Thank you. So this is the Fiat-Lux simulator. I've been written in Java, and you can download it from my webpage if you're interested in playing with it. So you choose your model and you choose your topology. So here we will look at the very famous game of life. We start from a random initial configuration and we run it. Well, this is the classical simulation you've seen many times of the game of life. So the question is, what happens to this system if a cell has a probability, for example, one half of applying the rule, and if it doesn't apply the rule, it stays in the same state, okay? So do you have any guesses if you don't know the experiment yet? So I'm not changing the updating rule, I'm just changing the probability to apply the rule. If I don't apply it, we stay in the same state. So here I changed the synchrony rate, what I call the synchrony rate. It's the probability of applying the transition rule. And I accelerate a little bit the simulation, and you can see that the asymptotic behavior of the system is totally perturbed. Okay? So we have modified qualitatively the behavior of the system. So you might be thinking that all cellular automata change their behavior. But if, for example, we look now at the majority rule, so this is the classical majority rule. So it converges quickly towards a fixed point. And if we run it asynchronous, with probability 1/2 to apply the transition, then qualitatively the system is not perturbed. So this would be, to the difference of the game of life, this would be a robust cellular automaton. And thinking about it quickly, you might think that because the majority converges to the fixed point, this is why it is robust. But let's look at the parity counter, the parity rule, just like we saw in the previous talk. So this is the synchronous updating, of course, with typing from a random initial condition. And if we do it asynchronous with probability 1/2 to apply the rule, it stays random and it doesn't converge no more. So from these three experiments, we can get an intuition that trying to find why some rules are robust and why others are sensitive is a difficult problem. And so I will now come into more formal definitions. So the asynchronous cellular automaton is defined by classical definition, set of states, set of cells, neighborhood, local transition, function. And there are many ways of defining asynchronous, asynchronicity. And here I only use I add another function, which is the updating scheme, and it tells us that if a cell belongs to delta, then you apply the rule, otherwise you stay in the same state. Okay? That's the only way of doing asynchronism I take into account. But then, even when I've said that, there are still many ways of applying asynchronism, and I will take two different ways. I will call it fully asynchronous if no simultaneity is considered. So you take only one cell at a time, okay? This is when your transitions are infinitely short. Or alpha asynchronism, it's the experiment I've shown you before. So if the transitions are not neglectable, then you update a cell with probability alpha. And if you want to do a rescaling to have the same number of updates in the synchronous and asynchronous updating, you divide by n or by 1 by alpha to have the same update rule. And to answer a question that was asked for me by Andreas Deutsch a few years ago. So what's the difference between if we do a discrete update or a continuous time update? For example, if you think of disintegration of an atom. In fact, you can do a rescaling of the continuous to discrete. If you're interested only in the asymptotic behavior of your cellular automata, then it doesn't matter whether the time of updatings are continuous or discrete, for the long term of the time of the behavior. So the question we were asking is which are the rules that are robust and which are the rules which are sensitive to the updating? And of course it is too much to look in dimension 2 to all the rules, you know that, so we focus on elementary cellular automata as a first step. And I want here to introduce a new notation of cellular automata, of elementary cellular automata. So I am looking at the active transitions, meaning the transitions that effectively change the state, okay? And I label them A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. They are not in the same order as the Wolfram order. If you notice that the four ones here are all the transitions that contain zero. And this notation have a lot of practical symmetries. I was visiting Paola Flocchini before coming here, and we were discussing about this. And for example, you can see that it's easy to change 0 by 1 to do the 0-1 symmetry or left-right symmetry. And here, if we look, for example, at the majority rule, the active transition are the transition DE. So this, I will call it transition rule DE for majority rule, and not rule 232. So the result here I want to recall, it was presented in the C workshop 2 years ago in Gdansk. So it's that if we consider the double quiescent ECA, meaning the CA that have the state 0 is quiescent and the state 1 is quiescent, it is the case for the majority rule, So if we look at the fully asynchronous updating, so we update only one cell at a time, and this cell is chosen randomly, then we can try to think about the behavior of the system, if it's going to reach a fixed point or no. So it's a first step, of course, for understanding the whole system. But first you have to notice that the fixed point under asynchronous updating and under synchronous updating are exactly the same. Okay? And of course there are no longer cycles if you do asynchronous updating. So the question I'm asking here is, what are the reachable fixed points? And once I know the fixed point, what is the probability to reach one of the given fixed points? And what is the worst time of convergence in average? I explain this notion in the next slide. So recall that we take fully asynchronous updating. So we rescale the time by factor 1 by n to have the same number of updates with the synchronous time. I call Tx the time of convergence starting from a given configuration x. Okay, I take torical topology. And then Tx is a random variable. You cannot predict with certainty how much time it will take you to converge. So I compute the expectancy of this value and extract the maximum of this expectancy for all configurations. And I call this the worst expected convergence time in average. And we have this very nice theorem that was established with a collaboration with people from Lyon, which is for the 25 double quotient ECA rules. 21 converge almost surely, and four of them diverge. Moreover, the convergence times are not very well classified. We have log n time convergence, n time convergence, n square, and one rule which is exponential, and the other diverge. So this can be summed up by this table. So here you have the Wolfram code, here you have the transition code, and by looking at what happens to the zero ones with this particular notation, we could predict the behavior of the system. So I will not explain all this transition, but I want to show you a few rules, just three rules, very simple ones. How much time do I have? 17. Yeah. Okay, so if we take, for example, rule which is E, so this rule removes isolated zero ones. So if you have 0, 1, 0, it becomes 0, and that's all that it does. So if we have K, 0, 1, 0, the probability to remove one of these isolated ones is K over N. And so the time we do it in average is N over K. The next one is A over K minus 1, etc. So this is called in the stochastic analysis a coupon collector. It's a well-known process. So it converges in N log N, and the worst expected convergence time scales in log N. So very simple one. If we take the rule DE, which is the majority rule, it's exactly the same, but you can decrease the number of instable cells by more than one for two or even three. If we look at another rule, rule B, maybe I can show you a demo because it's very fairly simple. So rule B will be just acting on one transition, and this is the synchronous updating of the rule, so in 1D. And if I change the asynchronous updating, so you see it's more or less the same, even though there are probabilities. And so it will act on configuration which are 0, 0, 1 and transformative 2, 1. In fact, the density is monotonous, so it's easy to establish that the maximum number of increases is thus n minus 1, and the worst expected conversion time scales as n, so you use the same techniques for a certain number of rules. But now, if we look at a very simple system, which is the shift. So the shift, here is the synchronous updating of the shift. No, I was wrong. So here, so this is the synchronous updating of the shift. And if we do asynchronous, fully asynchronous updating, so what happens? We have this very strange phenomenon. And you see, we have very long time of convergence. And we don't know if we will converge. We see that the number of zones, 0 and 1, decrease. We don't know if we converge to all 0s and to 1s. Here, we have converged to all 1s. So to do the analysis of this rule, we take a Markov chain, and we simply count the number of 1s. And this Markov chain is... I have laser. So you have the same probabilities of increasing and to decrease. And we solve it with the recurrence equation analysis, very simple. And you can see that the convergence time, if you have only a certain number of 0 followed by a certain number of 1s, scales as n square. So what happens if we have more zones, more alternations of 0s and 1s? In fact, we have exactly the same Markov chains, except that the probability to augment and to diminish is varying with time, and it is greater than 1 by n. And we have this very nice property, so it's the only technical part of my talk, that this quantity xt, the number of ones, is called a martingale. It has the same, it has very nice properties, and the expectancy, the number of ones, is conserved. So the number of ones is not conserved, but the expectancy is conserved. So we have the application that if t is the time to reach a fixed point, we have a very simple equation, and we have that the probability to reach the fixed point where we have all ones is exactly x0 divided by n, meaning it's exactly the same, the initial density. Okay? So if you start from density 1/2, you have equal probability to reach 0 and 1, and if you start from a high density, you have a high probability to reach the all one. Configuration. So to generalize the results to other rules, we applied a very important lemma that tells us that if a process is a martingale, and if it has a process a probability to augment or to diminish greater than epsilon, then we can bound the convergence time, and it gives us n square, a square scaling for the convergence time of many cellular automata in asynchronous updating. In fact, these are the rules that we could classify like this. So this was with the fully asynchronous updating, and when it came to going from fully asynchronous to alpha synchronous, we had very strange phenomena. And if we looked at, for example, cellular automata rule 50, we had the average density was just showing something very strange, because for a given critical value of alpha, it was the behavior of the system was totally changing. So this was like phase transition, like if you have a magnetization and you increase temperature, then it can fall very rapidly. And if you look at rule ECA 50, it doesn't say much. It tells you that if you are 0, 0, 0, you stay in the same state. Otherwise, you change. And if you look at the space-time diagram, this is what we obtain for a critical value alpha equal to 0.60. And the explanation of this phenomenon was the phase transition type is directed percolation, so it's a variation over the classical percolation theory, where your clusters are formed only in one direction. And you can do nice predictions with this statistical physics approach. So if you are near the critical value, you have a log-log plot, and you follow a particular power law decrease of the density, and this could be verified on elementary cellular automata 50. So we could understand that these cellular automata are subject to phase transitions. So as far as asynchronous cellular automata is concerned, there are still many things to do about other types of rule, about alpha synchronous dynamics, about two-dimensional rules. So all of these are under investigation at the moment. So maybe to convince you more of the interest of this type of research, I want now to talk about probabilistic transition. In fact, asynchronous transitions are just one type of probabilistic transitions, So I will just give two examples before finishing my talk. So the first one is the density classification problem. So you know that the problem consists in sorting the initial density. So if we start from density smaller than 1/2, we converge to all zeros. And if it is bigger than 1/2, we have to converge to all ones. Okay? So we have this main theoretical result that no perfect two-state classifier exists. And Fuchs solved that we can solve the problem either with using two CA rules, one after the other, or with a dissociative probabilistic CA. So this probability, the probabilistic Henrik Fuchs proposed was these are the transitions, and this is the probability to get to the state one. So it's difficult to understand it, at least just from one side. So if now we look not at the probability to be in state one, but the probability to change the state, just like I showed you with elementary cellular automata, this is how we can rewrite the rule. And in fact, by doing a little bit of analysis, you can show that this rule consists in applying the shift, the left shift with probability P, the right shift with probability P, and doing nothing with probability 1 minus 2P. So this is very nice, because the lemma I've talked about to analyze the shift still applies. And we can show that the number of ones is still a martingale, so we can get very easily that the probability to converge to zero is exactly the initial density, which was shown by other means, by Henrik Fuchs. And we can also get the convergence time of the scaling. So this was to show you that these tools apply also in more generalistic case. And just to finish, I will show you the one other model that is very different from this one. So it was presented in the CA workshop in Hiroshima. So it's working. Yes. So this is the problem. It's about putting agents come together. So it's a difficult problem. I cannot go into details, but it's how agents which see our cellular automata rules. So here it's classical reaction diffusion rule, and how they can gather with seeing only their neighborhood and acting only on their neighborhood, how they can gather to the same place. And the nice result is that it's difficult to do it in the classical CA. In classical deterministic case, but if you do it with the probabilistic updating, so you have a very nice way of getting these agents together. And I don't have time to develop, but I only want to say that in this system also, I observed the same type of phase transition. If you change the probability that you see your neighborhood or not, then you have this second order phase transition, and they were also observed to be directed percolation. So to conclude, I will simply say that what I have presented here in this talk, so again, I think they are just prolegomena, so just a preparation for a theory of understanding probabilistic and asynchronous cellular automata. So I showed you that by doing some experiments, you can simply discriminate between robust and sensitive CAs. So maybe you can try it with your own models. We can use stochastic process theory for analyzing the behavior of the CA. A small variation of synchrony rate can produce great change in the behavior. So we can observe phase transitions, and this is a very important phenomenon. And when it comes to applying to inverse problems, I show you that we can apply these theories for understanding the density classification problem and to model what I call reaction diffusion chemotaxis, so grouping agents at the same place. So all these problems, there are plenty of open problems, so all collaborations are mostly welcome. Thank you for your attention.